Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Must have said that a whole bunch of times during this Easter weekend. In fact, we even did it on a Saturday evening when the worship service led us into the Easter celebration. Hi, I'm Tom Baker. You're listening to Law and Gospel on this Monday, April the 6th in the year of our Lord 2015. Do pastors ever retire? I retired some, 16 years ago as I went to work with Concordia Mission Society, supporting missionaries in Kazakhstan, Kyrgyzstan, and, of course, helping out with the Good News magazine edited by Wallace Schultz. We helped to deliver it, helped to sell it. But did I retire then? No, not only do I continue to enjoy Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO, but since Thursday, I participated in 8 worship services. Monday, Thursday, Good Friday, Easter Eve, Easter Sunday, of course, and, of course, a funeral, too. By the way, Easter Sunday was at Zion Lutheran Church in Lincoln, Illinois. There were some really friendly people there. In fact, so friendly that I drove home with some delicious, gooey baked goods. I think they wanted to have me share them with my wife, but they were about gone by the time I got home. They were really good. But we had wonderful worship services. They do have a full-time pastor, but he had a back problem and had some surgery, so he's out for a little bit longer. He was there walking around gingerly, and you could tell the people really loved him. For the second Sunday of Easter, we're therefore going to be taking a look at readings that are coming up next Sunday. But first of all, a little housekeeping duty. Yes, we have another seminar, our second one, at Emmanuel Lutheran in Olivet, Missouri. That's 9733 Olive on Saturday, April the 25th, from 1 to 4:30. The cost is $10, but you get free refreshments. And if you register ahead of time at the website, you also get 50% off any book. So, in a sense, with the refreshments and the book, it won't cost you anything. $10 a person. Where do you go to register? LawandGospel101.com. LawandGospel101.com. And then just click on the seminars button, and it'll tell you how to go through where you can use your credit card, register. And by the way, if you register ahead of time, 50% off any of the books for sale. Also on that Law and Gospel 101, you can donate to this program so we can stay on KFUO. That's near the bottom of the page. And I'm also announcing now that we're going to be doing a webinar as to not only how to do a sermon, but how to listen to a sermon. And that's going to be announced in a few weeks, and it's going to be probably a 4-week item, and we'll have more information about that, and that'll be under a button called Webinars, but that's not up yet, because I'm still completing the information for that. Although, we're going to talk a little bit about that today as we take a look at one of the lessons for the second Sunday of Easter. In fact, it's an entire chapter from the letter, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, goes all the way, in fact, to verse 2 of chapter 2. And I'm going to talk just a little bit about a way that I like to think of Bible studies, sermons. So let's say you're doing a Bible study for some youth or a Sunday school. The three items I'd like you to keep in mind are exegesis, Emmaus, and ecclesial. Ecclesial. Well, what am I talking about? Well, exegesis is just a word to talk about how you get the proper interpretation from Scripture. And you do that by Scripture interprets Scripture. There's another word from the Greek called eisegesis, where you take out of the Scripture what you want it to say. But exegesis is you saying what the Scripture says. So that's the first thing you need to do. After you figure out the interpretation, and there you might need some help from a commentary, a professor, etc. That's what I do. Then you do Emmaus. Emmaus to me was the greatest Bible study of all time. because Jesus was leading it. And what did he do? He went through the Old Testament to show where he was everywhere. Now, why did he only go through the Old Testament? Well, because the New Testament had not yet been written, the New Testament books. So the Old Testament books, Peter Krausky has got a book, Angel of Angels, where Jesus is almost 70 times found in the Old Testament as the angel of the Lord, such as at Mount Sinai. That's Jesus in with and under the burning bush. And this is really, really important that once you understand what the text is talking about, you must relate it to Jesus. If you don't relate it to Jesus, then you don't understand what the text is talking about. The third thing, ecclesial, simply refers to the church. That's the Greek word for the church. It means to call out. And therefore, Christians are those who are called out of the world, out of the kingdom of Satan, into the kingdom of God. Now, what is that? Well, once you find out what the text means, once you see Jesus in it, then you need to connect that to the people who are listening to you. And that is done by using the distinctions between law and gospel. Law and gospel. Now, why is that important? Let's say I'm going to the hospital and a lady is about to have a baby. And so we pastors always try and be with our members when they're going through something at a hospital like that. And I look at her and I say, boy, have I got an interesting story. I want to tell you about David killing Goliath. Well, what good is that for a woman about to have a baby? Or even worse, somebody about to have surgery for cancer. It's not that David and Goliath aren't in the Bible. And it's not that we can see Jesus there and find a lot about him. But what is the connection between that text and the person lying in the hospital bed? It'd be really hard to do it on the basis of David killing Goliath. As I said to the good people at Zion and Lincoln, when I go to a hospital and I'm praying for a lady having a baby and another one having surgery for cancer, my prayers are different. They're different in that I'm taking different Bible passages to apply to the situation at hand. That well-used word relevant is really what we're talking about here. You can do a sermon, and if you only have exegesis and Emmaus, you really haven't done a sermon. Because you may have given a very good interpretation of what the text is saying. And you may have seen Jesus in it, but until you connect it to the people in the pew, the pastor who was on doing the Bible study, just as I was driving in, I was listening to it here on KFUO, he made a point that when he was in high school, they had a Good Friday service there. And he began to weep, he said, began to cry when he was seeing pictures of the crucifixion. Now, there's no doubt that any movie can make a person cry, does not have to have anything to do with Jesus. But in this case, it did. But what he said, I found most interesting. Why did he begin to cry? It wasn't because he was seeing pictures of the crucifixion. It was the realization, and maybe that's one of the first times it had happened to him, that Jesus was dying for him. You know, a lot of times, the reason children get to love their parents more and more as time goes on is that they see all that the parents truly do for the children, even though they don't deserve it, even though they're disobedient. So that's the point of performing law and gospel, to touch a person's heart so that their faith in Jesus increases. So let's take a look at these three items, the exegesis, Emmaus, and ecclesial, and see how it fits with 1 John 1. John begins with that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we looked upon and touched with our hands, concerning the word of life. The life was made manifest. We have seen it and testified to it, and proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and was made manifest to us. Okay, just in that first few verses, John has all three ingredients. He's first of all doing exegesis, the proper interpretation of his meeting Jesus. Jesus is the one who indeed life was manifested in him. And therefore, this is really important. It's obvious that he's talking about Jesus. That'd be the second part. But where's the gospel? The gospel is found when he says, and testify to it and proclaim to you the eternal life. Ah. So we have all three. He's picking up things from the Old Testament, pointing them that Jesus is the fulfillment of them, and then showing the benefits you receive. You see, if you only do the first two parts in a Bible study and a sermon, well, that might be a pretty good lecture, but it isn't a sermon. Because a sermon is not just telling you what's in the Bible or explaining it or saying Jesus is there. Well, what good is that? Look at the disciples and Mary. If you heard the readings yesterday from Easter, they came and they saw the tomb was empty. Well, what was their reaction? Well, some believed he rose from the dead, but that didn't do any good because the Bible says they did not yet know the scriptures. So here we find the disciples cowering in an upper room for fear. So the empty tomb didn't help them much. And look at Mary when she thinks that somebody has stolen the body. Taken away. And when she meets Jesus, she thinks it's a gardener. What have you done with his body? So it's very important to understand that when we're talking about scripture, interpret scripture, it's not enough just to do the exegesis. It's not enough to talk about Jesus. Unless you apply it by means of law and gospel, you've just given a good lecture. You haven't done a sermon. You haven't done a true Bible study. In fact, John goes on, he doesn't fool around, because he says in that same chapter, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, that is different than every other religion in the world. In every other religion in the world, which is a law religion, you have to do something, say something, think something, sacrifice something, offer something, or else you're not going to be liked by God, loved by God, or saved by God. Only in Christianity does God do everything. Only in Christianity are all the promises connected to the gospel made by God and him alone. None of them are made by you. Now try and make a promise to God. I mean, how many times do we say, God, if you allow this to happen, I'll come to church every week. And then all of a sudden you get ill and you can't go to church. Well, you broke your promise. You need to be understanding that the promises that save you have nothing to do with what you've said. In fact, even when we confirm youth and we ask them, you know, will you do this? They always say yes, with the help of God. They always point to him. Now, here is the essence of Christianity. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, normally when we think of the justice of God, we think that God gives you what you deserve. And that's true in every other religion in the world. But in reality, the true justice of God is that he forgives your sins by putting them on his son, Jesus Christ. And in putting on his son, Jesus Christ, he takes away from you the punishment that you deserved. That is the essence of Easter. So the life of the Christian is really one of repentance. Yesterday in the Bible study, somebody asked me, what's repentance? Is it turning 180 degrees from your sin and saying you won't do it again? I said, yeah, if you want to join Billy Graham's church. But if you want to stay in the true Christian church, now I'm not saying Billy Graham isn't a Christian, he is, but he's really messed up on repentance. Repentance is not me promising God anything. I cannot stop my sin. Why? Because I still have the old Adam. The only thing it can do is sin. The new man never sins, but the old Adam always sins. That means every good work I do has a double motivation, new man and old man. In fact, as Martin Luther wrote in the Heidelberg Disputation of 1518, if you ever do a good work and don't think it's mortal sin, it is mortal sin. Because if you ever do a good work and don't think it's mortal sin, you think it's sinless. Oh, finally, I have something I can offer to God. No. As Martin Luther said, God would prefer a plate of worms than your good works to get right with God. So God is a just God. He just didn't forgive your sins for no reason. The curse of the law had to be fulfilled. In the day that you sin, death is the result. And that was fulfilled by putting that curse upon none other than Jesus himself. That's really the essence of Good Friday. My God, why have you forsaken me? So, if you don't think you're a sinner, guess what? According to verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we have made him a liar, and his word is not in us. Boy. Yesterday I was making the point that you do not have to do good works in order to get to heaven. And somebody was asking about, well, you mean I don't have to forgive somebody? I said, no, you don't have to. God desires that you would, and he may give you the ability to do so, but you don't have to get to heaven. He says, boy, that's hard to understand. I said, well, are you a father? He said, yes. I said, oh, so you tell your kids that they'll get a free meal and a free bed and free clothes if they wash your car, cut the lawn, do the dishes, take out the garbage. Is that the kind of household you got? Oh, no, 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 no. I love them. Well, give God at least that much credit. He loves you unconditionally. What does that mean? It means there's no condition you have to meet for him to love you. For God so loved the what? Lutherans? No. Christians? No. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you more. There's nothing you can do to get God to love you less. That's not found in any other religion in the world. Because love from God to you in every other religion in the world is always based on an individual's obedience to the will of God. In fact, part of the reading is chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. Let me read that. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Okay, a lot of people stop right there. See, that's the purpose of Christianity, to stop us from sinning. Really? Well, guess what? Then the church has failed. Because every person I know in the church is a sinner. In fact, they even confess that they're poor, miserable sinners deserving nothing but temporal and eternal punishment. So don't give me this song and dance that you can stop from sinning. It is definitely the will of God, and there are areas in your life that you will stop sin. I don't do the same sins when I was a kid that I do today. No. But that doesn't mean I've stopped sinning. Now, in case you're wondering whether or not stopping from sinning is the goal of Christianity, let me read the next verse. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Did you hear that? Now, the word advocate means a lot of things. It can mean a defender. It can mean a backer. In other words, Jesus is your defense attorney against whom? The devil, who is your prosecuting attorney. The devil loves to go before the throne of God, prosecuting you day in and day out. In fact, I often ask people, do you ever wonder whether you're going to heaven? Oh, yes. Yeah, sometimes I wonder. I said, I'll tell you why you wonder. Because you're looking at your works. If you look at your works, there is no way that you think you're going to heaven because you fail again and again. Don't look at your works. Look at the works of Jesus. I mean, how much more do you want him to do on the cross than what he already did? You think your sins are that much worse than anybody else's? That he didn't pay for them all? That he wasn't really serious when he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do? When he really didn't mean it is finished, he meant it is partially finished because now the people have to do their part? No. Christ is your advocate. He is your defense attorney. And how does he defend you? Does he say, well, he had a good reason to sin? No. I just love watching Law and Order. I've never seen a crook there who ever does something wrong who doesn't blame somebody else. And we know who Adam blamed in the Garden of Eden. Oh, you think he blamed Eve? No, he didn't. The woman you gave to me. See, Adam is saying to God, you're the blame God. Until you created Eve, I was doing fine. But once you created her, you caused the problem. And Eve did the same. She blamed God for bringing Satan, the serpent, into the Garden of Eden. See, that's not true repentance. True repentance is I take 100% of the credit for my sin. Why does God love to hear that? Because then he knows that we're trusting fully in the redemption won for us by Jesus Christ to save us. We have no hope. In fact, that's the purpose of preaching the law, to take all hope away from your salvation on the basis of your works. Proper preaching of the law and proper preaching of the gospel is exactly what John is writing in chapter 1 and that portion in chapter 2. He first says, really clearly the law. You know, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. That's pretty clear. The law comes down hard. If you don't think you're a sinner, with hell as your destination, then you're calling God a liar. But then the gospel comes along and says, guess what? You couldn't fix your sin. So, guess who did? God did. That's what we celebrated this Holy Week. His absolute steps to go to Jerusalem on Palm Sunday was not to receive a coronation as a king and make Jerusalem a better town and get rid of the Romans. No, that's what some thought. No, he was coming to die. And that was what Maundy Thursday, Good Friday, and Easter Sunday is all about. How he went the way of the Father, so the Father could say to him, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Why was he pleased with Jesus? Because Jesus did that which I couldn't do. He saved me. And he did that and then made me his child. How do you do that? Did I have a choice in becoming his child? No. Jesus says very clearly, you did not choose me, I chose you. Then how did I become his child? God adopted me. It's found in Galatians. And so I asked, what does a child do to get adopted? Nothing. You did nothing to become a child of God. God did everything. It's the difference, as we've been talking about the past few weeks, in regard to the old covenant at Exodus 24, where the people had to make promises, we will obey all these things. And the new covenant in 1 Corinthians 11, which also is found in the Old Testament, where God makes all the promises. We don't make any promises. What promises does a two-month-old infant make in order to be adopted? But you see, our old Adam can't stand that. We do not like the idea that we do not contribute to our salvation. That really rubs us the wrong way. We want to contribute to our salvation. So, that's what this program, Law and Gospel, is all about. We do some exegesis, taking a look what does the text say. We then do an Emmaus Bible study and bringing Jesus into the text because he's everywhere in the Bible. And then we do some Law and Gospel distinctions in order to connect that message to the people who are listening. If you want to know more about Law and Gospel, and I'd love to do videos, but it's a little hard over the radio because it's radio. It's not television. So, on Saturday, April the 25th, we're going to be doing a seminar with videos at Emmanuel Olivet. You want to come along and join with us from 1 to 4:30 in the afternoon? Then go to lawandgospel101.com and then click on seminars and fill out the form, and we'll look forward to you being there. In fact, if you register ahead of time, you get 50% off any book at all. And we get free refreshments. Plus, at 5 o'clock, I'll be preaching the sermon. There's a worship service at 5 o'clock, bringing in Law and Gospel. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow with Mark Smith. God bless.
Listen to Law and Gospel on Worldwide KFUO. You can write Pastor Baker at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. We are the messenger of good news, KFUO.